Andrew has been talking for a few weeks, on and off, about being worshippers of God. And worship is not just something that we do here on a Sunday. Worship has to be lifestyle. If worship is lifestyle, then coming here, we will start at a certain level and go higher and higher. And God wants us to have a lifestyle of worship to God. A worshipper of God is someone who has a deep respect and reverence for God. It's not just putting on a show when we come here. It's the excitement of coming here to be with his fellow believers and to just grasp a hold of God and envisage ourselves around the throne and listen to God and hear what he's saying. You know, today I said to God, God, I want more and more of you. And God said to me, well, give me more of you. And you know, if you want more of God, all I can say is, he wants more of you. And you'll find you'll get more of God. So we're saying worship is a lifestyle. It's not something we put on a Sunday. It's something we do every day of the week. It's something, it's this desire to meet with God every day, to listen to him, to learn from him, to be in his presence. That's what God wants us to go for. That's where God wants us to be. And I was really impressed today to look at Solomon. Solomon, there's a few interesting thoughts about Solomon. Solomon's name means peace. And Solomon is a picture of the kingdom. The kingdom is what Jesus purchased for us, to take us into. He made the entrance for us to live in that kingdom, and that's where God wants us to live. But you know, Solomon was a picture of life in that kingdom. And I just want to look at that shortly. God also gave Solomon a new name when he was born. He called him Jedidiah. And Jedidiah means God's beloved. We are beloved to God. We are loved of God. And he wants us to live the lifestyle that he set out for us and that is portrayed here in the life, the early part of the life of Solomon. A few interesting facts. Solomon became king at the age of 18. Daniel, how do you fancy being king of the provinces that Solomon was king of? That is an awesome thought, is it not? 18. And he was king of a huge, vast empire. That is something special. He reigned for 40 years. As did, I believe, his father David. Sadly, he died at the age of 58. And his early demise was because he strayed from the paths of God. And that is a remarkable lesson to us, to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. If we want an abundance of life, a full life, a long life, a satisfying life, let's live a life of the kingdom, a life with God. He was the 10th son of David. He was the 10th son of David. That wasn't by accident. 10 is the number of ordinal perfection. And it wasn't a coincidence that he was the 10th son. He was appointed by God to be the 10th son because that was the number that God selected in which to portray his perfection. He was the second son of Bathsheba. 2 is the number of witness. He was brought into the kingdom for such a time as that. He was born as to be a witness of the wisdom, the peace, the power, the wealth, the knowledge attained by living in the kingdom. Solomon is a picture of the kingdom. He was the third king of Israel, three being the number of God's divine perfection. He was the embodiment of God's divine perfection, the kingdom. I'm going to do quite a lot of reading from the Message, because it so wonderfully portrays, it can say it far better than I can say it. And I would not encourage you to read it in your Bibles, because it will detract from the lifestyle and the ease of language with which the Message puts across the message. So while I read to you, I'd really encourage you just to shut your eyes and picture what I'm reading about, because that way, and we'll, Father, I ask you to just give us a picture of what your word says of the magnificence and the magnitude of your lifestyle through Solomon in the kingdom, Father. Let us see that wisdom that God only can give. The first reading, and it talks here about Solomon's appointment as king. And it's found, if you want to read it later, in 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's from verses 3 to verse 15. Solomon loved God and continued to live in the God-honoring ways of David his father. The king went to Gibeon, the most prestigious of the local shrines, to worship. Gibeon actually means the high country, the hills, the heights. And it's a Levitical city. The king went to Gibeon, the most prestigious of the local shrines, to worship. That night, there in Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, "What can I give you? Just ask." Solomon said, "You were extravagantly generous in love with David, my father, and he lived faithfully in your presence. His relationships were just and his heart was right. And you have persisted in this great and generous love by giving him, and this very day, a son to sit on his throne. And now here I am, God, my God, you've made me your servant, ruler of the kingdom in place of David, my father. I'm too young for this. I'm a mere child." He's 18 years old. What a daunting prospect. "I don't know the ropes. I hardly know the ins and outs of this job. And here I am, set down in the middle of the people you've chosen, a great people, far too many to ever count. Here's what I want, God. Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. For who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people?" God the Master was delighted with Solomon's response, and God said to him, "Because you have asked for this and haven't grasped after a long life or riches or the doom of your enemies, but you've asked for the ability to lead and govern well, I will give you what you've asked for. I'm giving you a wise and mature heart. There's never been one like you before, Solomon, and there'll never be one after you. As a bonus, I'm giving you both the wealth and glory you didn't ask for. There's not a king anywhere who will come up to your mark. And if you stay on course, keep your eye on the life map and the God signs as your father David did, I'll also give you a long life." That was God's promise to Solomon. God added riches and honour to him. And I'd like us to look now a little bit about what it says about Solomon's prosperity. Judah and Israel were densely populated. They were like sand on an ocean beach. Can you imagine a vast people like that? They were as vast as the sand on the ocean beach. How many grains of sand can you see on a short amount of beach? That's how many people were in his kingdom. All their needs were met. Wow. They ate and drank and were happy. Solomon was sovereign over all the kingdoms from the river Euphrates in the east of the country, of the Philistines in the west, all the way to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and were vassals of Solomon all his life. And then it tells you what a day's supply was for Solomon's household. It was something. Solomon was sovereign over everything, countries and kings. Peace reigned everywhere throughout. Throughout Solomon's life, everyone in Israel and Judah lived safe and sound. All of them from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, they were content with what they had. King Solomon, God gave Solomon wisdom, the deepest of understanding and the largest of hearts. There was nothing beyond him. There was nothing he couldn't handle. Solomon's wisdom outclassed the vaunted wisdom of the wise men of the East. It outshone the famous wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone. He became famous among all the surrounding nations. He created 3,000 proverbs. He sang. His songs added up to 1,005. This is interesting. He knew all about plants, from the huge cedar that grows in Lebanon to that tiny hyssop that grows in the cracks of a wall. He understood everything about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. Sent by kings from all over the earth who had heard of his reputation, people came from far and near to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. You know, David Attenborough looks a novice at the side of Solomon. Solomon knew so much. God had filled him with divine and godly wisdom. And we also know somebody very famous came to see for herself whether all this was true, and that was the Queen of Sheba. We'll read a little bit about that. The Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon and his connection with the name of God. She came to put his reputation to the test by asking him tough questions. She made a grand and showy entrance into Jerusalem. Camels loaded with spices, a huge amount of gold and precious gems. She came to Solomon and talked about all the things she cared about. She emptied her heart to him. Solomon answered everything she put to him. Nothing stumped him. When the Queen of Sheba experienced for herself Solomon's wisdom and saw with her own eyes the palace that he had built, the meals that were served, the impressive array of court officials and sharply dressed waiters, the lavish crystal, the elaborate worship, extravagant with whole burnt offerings at the steps leading up to the temple of God, it took her breath away. She said to the king, "It's all true. Your reputation for accomplishment and wisdom that reached all the way to my country, I've confirmed it. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't have seen it for myself. They didn't exaggerate. Such wisdom and elegance, far more than I could ever have imagined. Look at the men and women who work for you, getting to be around you every day and hear your wise words firsthand. And blessed be God, your God, who took such a liking to you and made you king. Clearly, God's love for Israel is behind this, making you a king to keep a just order and nurture a God-pleasing people." Then she gave the king 4.5 tons of gold. as if he didn't have enough anyway. And also a sack of spices and expensive gems. There hasn't been a cargo of spices like that since that shipload the Queen of Sheba brought to the King of Solomon. Wow. God added to him more and more and more riches because of his wisdom. Because he sought God first. God added all this to him. And there's a tremendous lesson in this. Solomon, as we said, wrote many proverbs. And his first proverb, Proverbs 1 in the Bible, Solomon defines wisdom. And I'd just like to start there. The Wise Sayings of Solomon. It's headed up a manual for living. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we'll know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. It's a manual for living, for learning what's right, what's just and what's fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes, you young ones. Proverbs 1, Proverbs is to teach you what the inexperienced need to know for living. And give our young people a grasp on reality. Reality is not what you see on the telly. Reality is not what you're told at university. Reality is what's in the Word of God. This is the truth. There's something here also for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. We never stop learning, do we? Praise God. Fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate. The rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. The first thing is, start with God. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Pay close attention, friend, to what your father tells you. You listening, kids? Never forget what you learned at your mother's knee. Wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers. Dear friend, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. If they say, let's go out and raise some hell, let's beat up some old man or mug some old woman, let's pick them clean, let's get them ready for their funerals, we'll load up on top quality loot, we'll haul it home by the truckload. Join us for the time of your life. With us it's share and share alike, I bet. Oh friend, don't give them a second look, don't listen to them for a minute. They're racing to a very bad end, hurrying to ruin everything they lay their hands on. Nobody robs a bank with everybody watching, yet that's what these people are doing. They're doing themselves in. When you grab all you can get, that's what happens. The more you get, the less you are. Don't run after things. Don't take the cheap route. Don't listen to the crowd. Be different. You know, I was really blessed. I was working with my great nephew on Friday. And he's only 17, 18, just 18. And he quite surprised me. He said to me, you know, Auntie Grace, he said, I love being a Christian. I love to be different. I'm proud of who I am. And I thought, isn't that lovely? 18. He loves God. And he's proud to be a Christian. He don't want to follow the crowd. He says, I don't want holes in my trousers. I know better than that. He says, I don't want to follow the crowd. I want to be different. I'm special. And I thought, God, you are special, kid. I'm right behind you. Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom goes out in the street and shouts. At the town centre, she makes her speech. In the middle of the traffic, she takes a stand. At the busiest corner, she calls out, "Simpletons! How long will you wallow in ignorance? Cynics! How long will you feed your cynicism? Idiots! How long will you refuse to learn? About face, I can revise your life. Look, I'm ready to pour out my spirit, the spirit of wisdom." Who's got the spirit of wisdom? God's got the spirit of wisdom. "I'm ready to pour out the spirit of wisdom on you. I'm ready to tell you all that I know. Look, first, pay attention to me, wisdom. And then, relax. Now you can take it easy. You're in good hands." I want to be in good hands, don't you, Mary? I really want to be in God's hands. That's the best hands I can ever be in. I can relax when I'm in God's hands, when I'm listening to his wisdom and following him. It says, make insight your priority. Good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right, if you make insight your priority, you won't take no for an answer. Searching for it like a prospector panning for gold. Have you ever seen those prospectors panning for gold? They are determined. They won't listen to anybody that tries to put them off. They won't be told that what they're doing is foolishness. They have got one eye, and that eye is on getting that gold, and they're not going to give up until they get it. God wants us hungry like that for his wisdom, for his word, for his presence, for his kingdom. Believe me, before you know it, fear of God will be yours. You will have come upon the knowledge of God. If we're persistent, if we're prepared to give the discipline that it takes and the determination that it takes, we will see the wisdom of God and all his fruitfulness and multiplied increase. We shall live heaven on earth if we are determined to push through into the wisdom of God. You know, the devil will oppose you, but don't be put off. Stand your ground. What God says is the truth, and the truth will make you free. Don't ever compromise your position. Stand in for what God has given, because as we've seen with Solomon, the magnitude of God, we can't even comprehend how big God is and what he has prepared for those who love him. The word says we can't comprehend what his eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's go for all that God's got for us. Believe me, before you know it, fear of God will be yours. You will have come upon the knowledge of God, and here's why. God gives out wisdom free. He's plain spoken in knowledge and understanding. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well. He's a personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. He keeps his eye on all who live honestly and pays special attention to his loyally committed ones. His eye's never off you, Joan. He don't miss a trick. He knows what the devil's going to do before he does it. And he'll warn you. But we need to be in the place of wisdom. We need to be listening. We need to have our spirit tuned in so that we don't trip up and fall flat on our faces. God will warn us what the devil's going to do. We need to be listening. So now you can pick out what's true and fair. Find all the good trails. Lady Wisdom will be your close friend. And Brother Knowledge your pleasant companion. Good sense will scout ahead for danger. Insight will keep an eye out for you. They'll keep you from making wrong turns or following bad directions of those who are lost themselves. Don't follow the lost. Don't follow the crowd. They don't know where they're going. Don't follow them. The lost can't tell a trail from a tumbleweed. These losers who make a game of evil and throw parties to celebrate great perversity. Travelling paths that go nowhere, wandering in a maze of detours and dead ends. Wise friends will rescue you from the temptress, that smooth-talking seductress whose faithfulness to the husband she married years ago never gave a second thought to her promises before God. Her whole way of life is doomed. Every step she takes brings her closer to hell. No one who joins her company ever comes back, ever sets foot on the path to real living. So join the company of good men and women. Keep your feet on the tried and true paths. It's the men who walk straight who will settle this land. The women who with integrity will last here. The corrupt will lose their lives. The dishonest will be gone for good. Don't assume you know it all. Good friend, don't forget all I've taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time. A long life, full and well. I want a long life, full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well, in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure everything out. Sometimes things just don't make sense. Sometimes the road takes a curve and it looks totally opposite to what God said. Don't try and figure it out. Trust God. If you're in close connection with him, if you're communing with him, he'll keep your heart steadfast, he'll keep your heart at peace, and you won't be concerned if the road takes a seemingly wrong direction. God causes all things to work together for good, and he'll work it for good. He'll bring good out of bad. Trust him. Don't run off on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. You know, it's no good saying, well, I read my Bible on Sunday, so I don't need to read it till next Sunday. Uh-oh. We need the Bible on Monday morning if we're going to go to work with a smile on our faces, do we not? It's possible, Ellen. It truly is possible to go to work with a smile on our face. Let's do it. Let's give God first place in your life. And fill your heart with him. Run to God and run from evil. Your body will glow with health. I want a body glowing with health. And I've got to say, it's not happening at the minute. But I'm not quitting. I'm going for all God's got. I want a body, do you, Graham, that glows with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. You know, even when Elijah were dead, or was it Elisha? I never know which one. Elisha. Elisha, when he were dead, they threw a dead body on him and it came to life. His bones were full of life, glowing with life. Honour God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. You know, tithing, that's only your rent. God wants your 10%, that's your rent. Then he wants offerings from you. You know, don't be stingy with God, because God isn't stingy with you. God says, you first give to me and see what I'll give to you. And he will, he's so faithful. Your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. don't sulk when he lovingly corrects you. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. The very tree of life. You're blessed when you meet Lady Wisdom, when you make friends with Madame Insight. She's worth far more than money in the bank. Her value exceeds all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for can hold a candle to her. She's, with one hand she gives long life, with the other she confers recognition. Her manner is beautiful, her life wonderfully complete. She's the very tree of life to those who embrace her. Hold her tight and be blessed. Dear friend, take my advice. It will add years to your life. Hold tight to good advice and don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake. Those who discover these words, they really live. Body and soul, they're bursting with health. It don't matter, Edwin, what your eyes say. It's what God says. It's what God has shown you that matters. We don't go by what we see. We go by the word of God. Keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. It's what you put into your heart that counts. It's putting this into your heart if you want a rich life, a life full of health and meaning. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. Prefer my life disciplines over chasing after money. You know, lads, get one thing in your spirit now. Don't ever go chasing after money. It's futile. Prefer my life disciplines over chasing after money and God knowledge over a lucrative career. Yes, God wants you to have a lucrative career. God wants you to have money. He wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to have understanding. But it all comes his way by absorbing this first. This is the greatest gift you can ever take from God. He'll give you everything else. Everything else will accompany it. Just flow with God. For wisdom is better than all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could ever wish for can hold a candle to her. I'm Lady Wisdom and I live next to sanity. You know, you don't have to be insane. You don't have to end up. God will keep you sane. Knowledge and discretion live just down the street. The fear of God means hating evil, whose ways I hate with a passion. Pride and arrogance and crooked talk. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I'm both insight and the virtue to live it out. This book will give you the insight and the ability to live it out. You don't have to do it yourself. God will give you the wisdom and the ability to live out his wisdom as you stay closely connected to him. Keep taking the wisdom in. With my help, leaders rule and lawmakers legislate fairly. With my help, governors govern, along with all in legitimate authority. I love those who love me, those who look for me and find me. Wealth and glory accompany me, and substantial honour and a good name. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed any imaginable bonus. You can find me on Righteous Road, that's where I walk, at the intersection of Justice Avenue, handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life. How about you, Carol? Do you want armloads of life? I want armloads of life every day, all day. This is the way to find it. So, my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace my ways are most blessed. Mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Take note of that. You know, discipline is something I think the modern age hates. Yeah, the rebel does not like a disciplined life. But God says, if you want my wisdom, if you want to live a full life, if you want to live this type of life that Solomon lived, then you need a life of discipline. And you know, it's tough sometimes to get up early in the morning, especially the dark mornings. You know, the flesh man rises up and says, oh, it's warm here, it's comfy here, I'm tired. Why should I get up? Oh, well, I can think of lots of good reasons for staying under these bed covers. But, you know, the spirit man says, no, there's a desire inside me that says I want to get into God's presence. I want to listen to him before the day starts. I want to know what he says about my day. I'm not interested. I'm not going to set off on my day and fall foul to every trap the devil lays for me. I want to listen to what God says. It takes discipline to put God first, to live wisely. But here he says, don't squander your precious life. Don't squander your precious life. You know, it costs God, it costs Jesus everything to give you this wisdom, this wealth, this kingdom lifestyle. Don't squander it. Don't snub it. Don't push it to one side. It's very, very precious. It costs Jesus everything. And God wants you to have it. Blessed is the man and blessed is the woman who listens to me. Wakes up ready for me each morning. Alert and responsive as I start my day's work. When you find me, you find life, real life. To say nothing of God's good pleasure. But if you wrong me, you damage your very soul. When you reject me, you're flirting with death. Sadly, you know, Solomon gave all this up to flirt with death. And I can never, ever understand that. He had so much, and yet he so easily gave it up. He was beguiled because he married many women from the nations around who had foreign gods. And he chose to follow the foreign gods. And he ended up, very sadly, living under the sun. And Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. And it's in the Bible. And you think, why is that book there? That book is there because it exposes our total incapacity to find the meaning of lives on our own. This man, this flesh man, will never take you into life. You can't find it on your own. You can only find it living in the Spirit, living God's way. It's included in the Bible to call a halt to our futile attempts to make something of our lives. You'll never make anything of your life unless you include God, unless you adhere to God, listen to God and flow with God, and you'll have a full life. You'll have a good job. You'll have a good salary. You'll have wealth, riches, but you'll also be a person of integrity. You'll stand out in the crowd. God will promote you. He will take you to high places because that's what the Word of God does. You know, God will promote you. Don't seek promotion yourself. Don't run after the trappings. Don't run after money. Money is not the answer. God's wisdom is the answer. It will lead you into all these things. You know, the kingdom of God says in Matthew, we go from chapters 5 to 7. And those 3 chapters will tell you all about how to live in the kingdom. The kingdom lifestyle. And that will bring to you what we've been talking about today, the blessings and the prosperity and the abundance that Solomon experienced. If you want to live that lifestyle, then it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take sound advice, all of us. Young people, you're just starting. Take God's sound advice. Get your footing right. Start with God every day. All of us, seasoned travellers, we can still learn. If we've slipped, if we're not getting our footsteps right, let's go and be determined to do it. Let's listen to the wisdom of God. Make it a priority in our lives every day. I think it's the message that says in Philippians 4, it says something about listen to God, enjoy God every day, revel in him every day. He wants you to revel in his presence. He revels in your presence. He loves you to come to him. And you know, if you can't understand God's word, if you think, oh, it just goes over my head. Well, when you get into God's presence, ask him to impart his wisdom to you. Ask him to show you what he's saying. Ask him to give you the ability to understand his word. Get a message translation of the Bible. There's nothing easier to read or to understand than this. It just blesses me tremendously because it brings it down to where we're at. But you know, don't put it off. Don't accept second best. You know, Solomon did, and it was his demise. And he wrote Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes talks about life under the sun. And if you read that, it talks about everyday life today. It talks about where the world lives. And I've got to say, I was challenged when I read some of it today. Because I thought, God, I'm no better than the world. I'm living where the world's living. And the challenge is, I don't want to live in Ecclesiastes. I want to live in Proverbs. I want to live where Solomon lived. I want to live what Jesus gave for me in the kingdom. I want to embrace the kingdom. I want to live that kingdom lifestyle. And I want to encourage you today, whatever it takes, be disciplined. Put the word of God first, and you'll never, never, never regret it. Amen.